Wednesday, February 19th, 2025. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you, your friends, your family, you are all staying strong and healthy right now. And yes, of course, football season is now over. Okay, so how did you spend this last weekend? I know the NBA All-Star stuff was this last weekend. Well, actually, if I'm being honest, I didn't know it, but I accidentally turned to it. So I'll be honest, it was a complete and utter disaster. Do you remember back when, and I hate to go old guy, get off my lawn, but do you remember when the NBA All-Star stuff was actually must-see TV? Hey, I got to check out the dunk contest. Hey, who's going to win the three-point contest? Who is going to win the MVP of the actual game? You have the best players playing against the best players, and there is a lot of pride on the line. Well, the pride is not on the line anymore. The NBA has flat out ruined it. I'm not sure how they did it. I'm really not. But the players don't even try. The stars don't even play. Watching just your local rec league ball would literally be better than this. I knew no one in the dunk contest. In fact, from what I understand, the kid that won it, they brought him up from the G League. I'm not joking. You can look it up. Chris Paul and Victor Wembanyama actually got kicked out of the skills challenge for cheating.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. Now, I know that the NBA keeps telling us things are fine. This is all just cyclical. But I don't remember a cycle where we just had NBA players that literally do not want to play. That is where we are now. This is brand new. And I'll be honest, I'm looking at these TV ratings. I know they just got the big contract, but there are going to be problems if this doesn't turn around quickly. So instead of watching that garbage, I actually ended up turning over to the NHL Four Nations Face-Off or whatever it is, which is basically the NHL All-Star Tournament, where you have the best players in the league from the U.S., Canada, Sweden, and Finland playing in a tournament. And I'll tell you this, it is highly competitive. There is no, we don't want to be here. There is no, oh no, we might get hurt playing a sport where you actually could get hurt in it. Now, how competitive is it? Well, on Saturday night, when Team USA played Canada, there were three fights in the first 9 seconds. And then, my glorious Team USA went out and beat those moose-riding, maple-syrup-chugging, national anthem-booing clowns 3-1.
Canada, you did it again. You even found a way to ruin this. Why? Why do we let you be a country?
And now, they're going to face off again tomorrow night in the tournament final with all the chips on the line. We get a rematch. Team USA versus Team Canada. By the way, Team Canada, Canadians everywhere, stop booing what could eventually be your national anthem. You're better than that, Canada. Come on. Hey, I'm telling you, this tournament has been amazing. And you know what? The TV ratings agree with me because people are tuning in and watching this tournament, and the NBA All-Star Weekend didn't even generate a pulse. The NHL tournament is crushing the NBA. And again, I never thought I'd see the day, but here we are. Hey, remember, you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week to see what new things we have going on over there. We have links to the podcast. We have links to videos. You know, I actually put up an article this week. You might want to go check it out. But we also have links to Daily Dose gear. You need a new t-shirt, a new sweatshirt. Maybe you need a hat. Maybe you need a hoodie. You can go over to DailyDoseSports.com and find exactly what you need. And you can always email the podcast at DailyDoseSports@gmail.com. We hear from listeners regularly, and we would enjoy hearing from you. If you send us something interesting, just might have to read that here on the show. Hey, today on The Dose, we are going to be joined by our esteemed panel of NFL experts. We are going to be breaking down the NFL now that the season is over. What can we expect this offseason? Who could be moving? Which teams will get better? Which teams might actually get worse? In fact, we have so much to get to today, we're going to have to jump in right now. Joining us this week on the Daily Dose, we have our esteemed panel of NFL experts to break down the end of the NFL season and also what we might expect in the offseason. First up, we have Big Rob, who is still on Super Bowl hangover from his Philadelphia Eagles winning it all. Rob, have you stopped drinking and partying yet?
Earlier today. Okay. I know I had the show tonight, so cut it off this morning.
You took like a full week, though. Absolutely. Well done. Well done. I like it. Next up, we have our resident cowboy out on the plains from the frontier, Mike in Castle Rock, who has also been out shooting possums and gathering moonshine, celebrating the Kansas City Chiefs losing that big game. Mike, I know the Broncos season didn't end the way we wanted. Still kind of fun to watch the Chiefs get smacked, though, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one thing about the Chiefs, when they lose the Super Bowl, they lose it big.
They do it up. They do it the way it should be done. Finally, we have our savvy veteran, Larry from Centennial, who is living his best life, hitting the slopes, enjoying the winter here in Colorado. Larry, did you enjoy the Super Bowl as much as I did?
Absolutely. We hear about all these people who tuned out after halftime. I watched every second of it.
I did too. I watched the celebration. I watched the locker room interviews. I was just slurping up the tears as much as I could get them, and I absolutely loved it. Gentlemen, the 2024 NFL season is now over, and like I said, those Philadelphia Eagles absolutely pummeled the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 59 by a score of 40-22. Hey, that game was not that close. The Eagles just dominated the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs had looked like they might be a little bit vulnerable throughout the season, but then it all just kind of hit at once. They collapsed in the big game. Philly pushed them around all game, just beat the crap out of them in every phase. Rob, I don't want to overreact. I really don't. But I'm looking at this Philly roster, and I'm noticing a few things. One, this team is elite on the offensive and defensive lines. And two, it doesn't look like they're going away anytime soon in terms of like contracts and money. There's a couple of guys they got to take care of, but the Eagles could be on top for quite a while, couldn't they?
Yeah, I think so. Non-biased opinion. Like you said, especially on the defense, really young, no contracts we really have to worry about. It's a couple pieces on the defensive side that are up that I think we can re-sign. But I think we're in great shape.
Yeah, I do too. And like I said, I hate when we look at the Super Bowl winner and like, oh, they're so great. Because there's times you can look at a Super Bowl and be like, no, they've got some things to do. Philly looks like they're going to be good for a while. They've got some really talented players at really key positions. And they've done such a good job in a draft, in free agency, that you're looking and going, no, they've kind of built it the way that they should have built it. We'll see if that holds up. But they could be on top for a little bit. And like I said, I don't want to overreact to one game, I swear. But Mike, we had seen flaws in Kansas City all year. And the Eagles were just good enough to exploit every single one of those weaknesses. But when you get blown out in a Super Bowl, as we know in Denver, you get dropped to being like second best to horrible. Are we overreacting a little when we look at KC like they're kind of a mess now? Or are there like legitimate cracks in that foundation of that team?
Well, there's legitimate cracks. I mean, that offensive line, they gave up 6 sacks without a single blitz. I mean, yes. That's... Although that defensive line with Philadelphia is ridiculous. I mean, they set the record for the most points or point differential in a conference championship game in a Super Bowl back-to-back. I mean, they would have beat anybody that game, I think. Yeah. So we've been talking about it all year. Kansas City, the ball bounced right for them so many times this year. It was unbelievable. And even in the playoff preview and the midseason recap, I was like, this can't last. It can't last. I didn't have him going to the Super Bowl, so give him credit for that. But yeah, they were definitely exposed.
Well, and you know, we talk about Andy Reid and Andy Reid's such a great coach. Patrick Mahomes, is he in line to be the GOAT, that kind of thing? And yet, like you said, we're watching Philly. They didn't run anything tricky. Vic Fangio didn't dial anything tricky up. He was like, no, we're gonna rush forward and we think we can beat you. Where are the adjustments? I'm watching halftime. Casey's down big. Hey, they're going to come out first drive, and he's going to make some adjustments. He didn't do anything. They didn't change a thing. I didn't understand it. Andy got outmanned. He got outcoached. Patrick didn't look like the GOAT. It just was kind of weird. Now, having said that, the Kansas City Chiefs did come the closest that any team has ever come to pulling off a Super Bowl three-peat. They were just one game away from doing it. Larry, is this the greatest dynasty ever? Is Patrick Mahomes actually the GOAT? Is Andy Reid the greatest coach of all time? What is the Chiefs' legacy, or should we still wait a little bit before we start declaring these things?
Yeah, I think we definitely have to wait. Like, I don't think they're going away, right? They made it as far as they made it this year. Granted, you know, the ball bounced their way a little bit, and it didn't in the Super Bowl. They're a fantastic team, have been for a number of years now, and they have the Super Bowls to prove it. So just because they lost the Super Bowl doesn't mean, like you said, they're at the bottom of the stack. They're not. They'll be back. They have some difficulties, you know, coming up this year. I think the AFC teams are going to be a little bit better. But they're, anybody who thinks that they're over, I think, is going to be mistaken. Mahomes is going to be a great quarterback next year. Andy Reid's still going to be a great coach. And they will, you can bet that they're going to address some off-season, you know, needs. So, yeah. But it's going to take some time to fully evaluate where they stand. Sure.
I would agree with that. And I think we've got to take some time and see where this does go. I don't know that this is the beginning of the end, but we did see some flaws. And like we talked about, we had seen flaws all year. We just hadn't quite seen a team that was capable of exploiting those flaws, and they ran into the wrong team at the wrong time because Philly exploited everything. Okay, we're going into the offseason. Got a couple of things I want to discuss, and this is something we haven't really done too much. We've kind of done Super Bowl recaps and that kind of thing. I didn't really want to do that this year. I kind of wanted to look forward and kind of look, what should we expect this offseason? We've got a number of things to look forward to, but one thing I want to talk about, we now have all NFL coaching positions filled for head coaches. The Dallas Cowboys hired their own offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer. The Las Vegas Raiders hired former Seahawks and USC coach, 73-year-old Pete Carroll. Jacksonville Jaguars hired Tampa offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen. Kind of a weirdo. Chicago Bears hired Detroit offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson. The New England Patriots hire former Titans head coach, Mike Vrabel. The New York Jets hire former Detroit defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn, and the New Orleans Saints take Philadelphia's offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. I'll kind of go around the horn here. We'll start with Rob. But Rob, do any of these hires stand out to you as like, hey, that's a good hire? I think they got the right guy. Any of these standing out to you?
Yeah, two I'll give you for me. Ben Johnson for the Bears and Mike Vrabel for the Pats. I think Ben Johnson immediately. I think that's a team, you know, next season that we can see some improvement right away. Vrabel's probably the right hire. I think they get a little bit better, but I think that one's going to take some time. But those are the two that stick out to me.
Yeah, I would agree with both of those. And Ben Johnson's going to be really interesting to watch because he is kind of a my way or the highway guy. And I want to see how that fits in with Chicago because we've seen couple of players kind of like to do their own thing. I'm interested to see that. Yeah, I agree with you on the Mike Vrabel hire. Mike Vrabel was never great. My concern for him is he would never that quarterback friendly, which is going to be interesting with a young guy. They've got to get him going, but he's going to get him back to tough physical football, and they're going to be a pain again, which is a big change. Mike, let's go to you next. Any of these hires that that stand out to you as, hey, they probably got the right guy?
Yeah, I kind of agree with the Vrabel. But like you said, it's going to be interesting to see what he does with offensive coordinator because he isn't that guy, right?
No, he's going to bring Joshy and we'll see.
Yeah, that could be interesting. I don't know. I think that was a good hire. I'm intrigued by Aaron Glenn just to see what happens there.
Yeah.
They have no quarterback. That's a mess he's walking into. And I think it was one of the few hires that they could have done to actually raise the average coaching age in a division. But
no,
the Raiders did what they did. I mean, but I tell you what, the pedigree of the AFC West coaches is impressive. Oh,
very impressive. You've got two maybe Hall of Famers, one Hall of Famer, and one who probably is at least college football Hall of Fame in Harbaugh. No, that AFC West is going to be stacked with good coaches. Can Pete Carroll find the field? We'll see. Larry, who do you look at as the hire in out of these coaches that stood out as a positive to you?
Yeah, I think same. Vrabel is, I think, was a good one. And the fact that, you know, McDaniels is back as offensive coordinator obviously helps him, right? So yeah. I think he's got the head start over the others. I was intrigued by Pete Carroll, right? Like the Raiders being what they are, and he going in there, think there's an adult in the room now, right, with an established, you know, process and protocol. It's still the Raiders, right? And they are devoid of talent in a lot of areas. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think he was the right hire, I guess. I mean, it's kind of funny, really.
Aren't they paying like five coaches now?
Yeah. Yeah. They literally have at least four on the payroll because you're still paying Gruden. You're still paying McDaniels. You're still paying Pierce. And now you've added Carroll. And hey, if I'm Carroll, get that money up front because you are getting up there in age. So that's a little bit of a scary proposition. Let's flip it and let's go to the other side. And by the way, I will give a little bit of a thumbs up to Jacksonville for Liam Cohen, even though he came off as totally weird in the press conference. He was pretty good getting Baker Mayfield to actually play good football. Maybe he could be a guy that could, I don't know, kind of revive a career of a young guy down in Jacksonville. And so we'll see how that goes. But he did come off as a very odd fellow. Rob, let's flip it. Any of these hires that you look at and just go, no, you got the wrong guy or the wrong situation or whatever, but I would give a thumbs down to that hire. What do you got?
Cowboys, two thumbs
down. Of course. Yes.
Yeah, for I just think in that team in particular, you know, I like giving like the young guys a chance. I think that makes sense, but I think for this team, you probably wanted, you know, a seasoned guy in there because again, I think this could go wrong fast.
Well, and the problem with Schottenheimer, and he's got a great name, but even at this stage in their life, I'd rather have Dad. But the problem is that everywhere he's gone, they kind of get worse on offense. Like, isn't the goal crazy math? But I thought you're supposed to get better. He's not making them better. Micah, I look at the Cowboys as, yeah, that was a bad one. You got a different one, or you want to go with that?
No, that's spot on. I'm jumping right on that one as well. That one, I don't know. I mean, Jerry Jones is just, as long as he's holding the strings on the puppet there. That team is not going to realize its potential.
If you gave Jerry the honest choice, Genie comes out the bottle and says, you can win a Super Bowl, but you've got to take a step back. He's not winning a Super Bowl, is he?
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, he wouldn't do it. He'd be like, no, never mind. I'm fine with not winning. Larry, you got anything different? Are you going to pile on the Cowboys as well?
Definitely pile on the Cowboys, but yeah. I mean, it is tough. Like I'm not saying Ben Johnson's not going to be a great head coach, but you know, the pressure is on there big time, right? Quarterback,
for sure.
You're supposedly the brainchild of the offense for Detroit, but the Cowboys, Schottenheimer. I mean, it was like, I was embarrassed watching that press conference when Jerry Jones said, this is the biggest risk, you know, like that didn't instill a lot of confidence, you know, and Schottenheimer was just standing there kind of like taking it like, okay.
Well, and Jerry talked about himself the whole time. Yeah. He didn't talk about the guy he's hiring. He talked about it completely out of his mind. It was so much fun to watch. I loved it. I can't wait for him to suit himself up as quarterback this year. The one I have some hesitation on, I worry about Aaron Glenn. I really like Aaron Glenn, but he's walking into a hornet's nest of a mess. And so I worry he's being put in a bad situation. The Jets are a disaster. They don't have a quarterback. We have no idea what they're doing. The front office is a mess. The owner's an idiot. I feel like I'm almost setting him up to fail. And I really like Aaron Glenn. I'm not really happy with that. And the one other one author out there, we can pretend that New Orleans waited so long to get the right guy, or everyone was like, I don't want that job. You take it. I'm not taking it. You can have it. I don't want it. They gave it to Kellen Moore, and I kind of like Kellen Moore, but the Saints are a mess. I'm not really sure how I'm feeling about New Orleans just in general. He might be walking into a really tough situation as well. Hey, free agency begins already on March 12th. That is less than a month away. And there are some interesting free agents that are out there. I want to throw a few names out there. I'm not going to go too deep, but a couple guys to keep in mind. quarterback Sam Darnold, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, running backs Aaron Jones, James Conner, Najee Harris, wide receivers T. Higgins, Amari Cooper, tight end Mike Gesicki, offensive lineman Ronnie Stanley, Zach Martin, Brandon Scherff, I know he's had injury things, pass rushers Hassan Reddick, Josh Sweat, DeMarcus Lawrence, Chase Young, inside linebackers Nick Bolton, Zach Bond, be careful, Rob, defensive back Asante Samuel, Buda Baker. But here's one thing to think about in free agency. Who has money? Because can you convince guys to come play? A lot of times you sit there and you look at a team and you go, hey, they got a ton of money. Yeah, because no one wants to go there. So you're going to have to overpay to get one or two guys that you're probably paying way too much for. Or do you have a situation where you're like, no, I've got money. I've got a young team. We've got some things coming together. You might be able to get them. I look at some of these situations like, what are the bargains out there? So a couple teams to keep in mind that do have no money. The New England Patriots, at least right now, kind of, we don't have a set salary cap yet, $122 million in salary. The Las Vegas Raiders, $95 million. Speaking of, you might have to overpay. Washington has a good amount of money. Got a good young quarterback, some good young pieces there. Couple others to keep in mind. Denver's got $36 million. Kansas City only has $15 million to spend. And Houston, Tampa, Dallas, Atlanta, Miami, Buffalo, Seattle, Cleveland, and New Orleans are all currently over the cap. Now, like I said, the hard cap has yet to be established. We'll see where it comes in at, but we're probably in the ballpark. Got some very interesting situations lining up here in free agency. I want to go around the horn again. A couple of things to think about. A couple of players that might want to move around. Who may stand out to you as a team? Hey, they could go get some people. But first up, Myles Garrett, they say, wants out of Cleveland. But would the Browns really deal him? Rob, when you look at Myles Garrett, is there any chance you'd actually let him go?
Because it's the Browns, the answer to that is yes.
Well, you're right.
But, yeah, that's an interesting – another Debo, too, another guy that wants out.
Debo Samuel says he wants out.
Yeah, another guy, you know, that we can lump in with free agents that it's going to be interesting to see if they end up somewhere else.
Well, and you have to look kind of at team needs. You look at the Browns and you say, hey, they kind of need help all over. They massive disappointment this year. They don't have much money. Maybe they would want to get rid of him. I think of a team like the Lions. Do they really need their first round pick, or could they really benefit from going and getting a Myles Garrett? I don't know. That might be an interesting one to look at. Mike, Cleveland Browns could make some moves. They might switch some things up. Any chance they might try to make a trade for Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker?
You know, kind of would fit in there. That's kind of a brethren, right?
It can, yeah, seems like he would fit in. They could share massage tables. It seems like that might be a good fit.
Yeah, so tips, advice,
right?
Lawyers, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, that's going to be a very, very interesting story there. But I'm curious to see what happens with T. Higgins. He's a number one on 2/3 of the teams out
there.
Sure, yes. So that to me is going to be a big loss for the Bengals if they can't figure out a way to hold on to him. But that's going to be a very interesting one. In Darnold, I mean, he earned himself a big contract, but how sure. big is it going to be? That's going to be very interesting.
And where is it going to be? Yep. Because it doesn't have to be in Minnesota. They've got a rookie basically who they felt pretty good about until he went out with that injury. Do they bring him back and try to figure it out, give him a home down discount? You know, there's a lot of interesting things going on there. Larry, Aaron Rodgers is now out with the New York Jets. Hey, that has been an absolute disaster. If you're going to name the best Aaron Rodgers memory with New York, what would you come up with? The flag, when he ran out with a flag, would that be it?
Is there one? Yeah. When he got injured, you know, that's the one we remember, right? It's the one that made the most impact on his entire New York career. Yeah, I couldn't remember if you mentioned his name when you were rattling off the free agents. But
no,
he's
because
a free agents, right?
He is now. But would anyone take a shot on him?
Yeah, someone will. I mean, yeah. But it's, you know, it
and their name is the Raiders.
yeah, it's the options for him get, I don't think he's calling the shots like he, you know, is used to. So he might have to settle, and then you don't know if he will or not. Right. So,
right.
Yeah. And, you know, T. Higgins is the big one. Darnold's a big one. Garrett, you know, who knows what Cleveland has so much work to do.
Yes.
They probably should trade him and get everything that they could probably get and make it, you know, make it a blockbuster. But they, you know, who knows what they're going to do? They have a lot of things to deal with.
Well, and I thought it was interesting that at the end of the season, Myles Garrett was like, you know what? We're not winning titles here. I want out. Did you think you were going to win titles there? Like, what? You've been there for like 5 years. We all knew. How did you not know? But I thought that was kind of interesting. Rob, you brought up Deebo Samuel. Same thing. These guys that are saying they want out, I guess you want all you want, but that doesn't mean you're going to get it. But in a situation like Deebo, are his best years behind him? Is he like a running back that has had so many carries that you're like, I don't know. Is he still that? Is he still the guy?
Yeah, tough call. I think maybe, and sometimes just a new, you know, situation can help too. And another one I'll throw in there we didn't mention yet too is Cooper Kupp.
It's another
one that, again, kind of like a Deebo, are his best years behind him? Will he click with someone besides Stafford? So that's another interesting name too to kind of see where, you know, he ends up.
And I can't remember, is Tyreek Hill like staying or going? Like, what's his status this week?
He's got some kids he's dealing with. He's got a few things to sort out there. So he's working his way through learning those kids' names, and then he's going to see where he is contract wise. But yeah, Tyreek is another interesting one. And you know, same thing. He said, "I don't want to be here anymore." Okay, well, you can want whatever you want, but that doesn't mean that's what is going to happen. Another one that we're hearing, Mike, is that there are rumors that the Rams are kind of getting annoyed with Matt Stafford. That they might even look to trade Matt. They wouldn't really do that, right?
I don't know, man. That's tough. I mean, you got to take your lumps with somebody of that talent, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's done, and it's extracurricular stuff, right? It's not locker room stuff.
Right, right. No.
You know, I don't see how that could warrant trading somebody who won you a Super Bowl. You know,
And let's not forget, he's the guy that gave the Eagles the biggest test of the postseason.
Yes. Yeah. So I just think he's too valuable. I don't think you can just swap somebody in there. It'd have to be a young guy, right? I mean, they showed some promise in the second half of the year this year.
Yes, they did.
Do you hit the reset button already? I don't think so.
I don't either. The concern I guess I would have if I'm the Rams is, do they look at it and say, hey, Sean McVay can make another guy? Okay, but Matt Stafford might be a little bit special. I don't know. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't know if I'm ready to start over just yet. One thing about free agency, and Larry, you know this more than anyone, you know how this goes. Usually the teams that win free agency aren't very good. We always hear about like, oh, hey, the Jaguars won free agency again. Oh, okay, great. Goody for them. Like, it doesn't equate winning. You've got to build your team. You don't just go, you can sign key guys. You can pick and choose and get guys to help you. You don't build your team through free agency, do you?
You don't. You're overpaying. They typically are looked on as being some sort of savior, right? They're the piece that's going to just, you know, make everything right. So no, rarely does whoever wins the offseason, you know, in terms of free agency, do they become materially better, right? Yeah.
Okay, let's move forward because we have free agency coming already in less than a month. But hey, the NFL draft will be taking place from April 24th to the 26th. That's not that far down the road. Here's the problem. I'm not sure this is a great draft class. And I know we haven't really drilled into the draft class and gone over all the prospects quite yet, but I'm looking at the draft class going, it's a little bit underwhelming. If I have that top pick, I'm not sure what I do. Rob, the Tennessee Titans have the number one pick. And we know, watching that team, they really need a quarterback. Too bad the quarterback class is not great. Cleveland is two. They probably need a quarterback too, but I don't know what you do. The Giants are three. Another team that needs a quarterback. The Patriots are four. They should be set. And the Jaguars are five. If you're the Titans, Do you reach on a quarterback at one? Do you trade down? What do you do in this draft? And I know, like I said, it's a ways out, but that's, I wouldn't want the pick this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think you trade it personally, especially since that's a team that needs so many things, you know? So I think when there's not a surefire pick at the top and you have a lot of needs, it's probably best to go ahead and trade that pick and, you know, try to speed up the process of building.
Try to go get more pieces. You can at least get quantity, if not, you know, top-notch quality. But at the quarterback position, I don't know. Mike, I'm looking at this quarterback class. You can go Cam Ward out of Miami. And at times, he looks really good. And at times, he doesn't. You can go Shedeur Sanders. I'm not completely sold on him as a number one guy. If you're one of these teams, Tennessee, Cleveland, the Giants, the Jags, maybe the Raiders, the Jets, are you reaching on one of those quarterbacks with a top five pick?
I don't know what else to do in their situation, yeah. Right? It is just horrible timing for them that they didn't have a top pick last year when six right. quarterbacks went in the top
and they needed it. Yes. Picks.
And most of them hit.
So yeah.
Far, right. Well, okay. I'm not getting ahead of myself.
Strong start, though.
Most of them hit.
Yeah.
That's incredible. This could go down as the best quarterback draft class ever.
Has a chance.
And in 2025, could be a complete dud. I mean, but I don't know. You pay a bunch of people, a bunch of scouts to figure out if you think it's going to work. If you think there's a shot at it, you got to take the chance. I mean, hopefully, I mean, you look at the teams up there, and yeah, they are usually up there, but hopefully you're not picking up this high in the draft that often. But I don't know. It's a tough spot to be in this area. I mean, you mentioned trying to trade out of one. You got to find a partner to do that.
No, you're right.
Who's in the top 10, say, that needs somebody so bad that is a consensus number one? There's no consensus number one.
No, there isn't.
I don't know. It's a bad spot to be in this year.
Well, and Larry, we know quarterback. We saw it this year with these rookies that came in. Like Mike said, what a great class we had. And yet, can you afford to reach on a guy that really shouldn't be taken, probably even in the top half of the first? Or do you just go, hey, we're going to go defensive line. We're going to go offensive line. We're going to kind of follow that Eagles blueprint. We're just going to build up our lines and we'll figure out quarterback later.
Yeah. The smart teams will do that. Exactly yeah. that, right? If they can't find a trade partner, if you reach on a quarterback and you're not right, you're in trouble. If you're counting on a rookie quarterback to fix your team, it's going to be a couple of years, right? So, and I'm not saying that maybe they're in a, you know, Denver was in that position, right? That they had to take it. Like there was no other option. There are going to be teams out there. A smart team will sign Darnold and try to move the pick or go with that defensive tackle and just make their team better. Yeah.
Good point. Good point. Because, you know, you talk about, you think about a guy like Trevor Lawrence. Hey, here's the number one guy. He was the number one guy. There wasn't a lot of question. And yet, they haven't really surrounded him with that much. And a guy that looked like a can't miss has been terrible. And so, like Larry said, you can't just pile it all on, hey, here's our new savior. I understand there's going to be those select guys that, hey, they're going to come in. You get the Elway, you get the Luck, you get those kind of guys. They're pretty rare. And I don't see that guy in this draft. I kind of like Cam Ward. I don't know if I like him enough. The NFL draft, we will get you ready for that as we get closer. Drill down on a little more prospects, maybe a little more team need, that kind of thing as we get a little bit closer. But I know over the next couple months, we'll start to ramp up for that. Okay. Going in the offseason, free agency, kind of talked a little bit about that, kind of talked a little about the draft, some new coaches, that kind of thing. I'm going to go around the horn here again. Rob, if you're looking at teams that maybe could be on the rise, maybe they are just going to be a team that you're like, hey, no, they're going to still be really good. If you're looking at a team that maybe surpass expectations, maybe just live up to some high expectations, who's a team that you look at this next year that may be on the rise?
Yeah, I'm usually high on them every season and they let me down. But Baltimore Ravens again.
Should be good, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should be right there. You know, Lamar, past couple seasons have been great. Derrick Henry's there. So that's a team, you know, feels close. I know I've said that, you know, past few seasons. Yeah. Closer than before, but that's a team I like going into next year.
Well, and in all honesty, and they didn't play very well. They were three drops away from probably going to the Super Bowl. I mean, they were that close and just couldn't quite get it done. So, yeah, you think Baltimore has to be at least in the hunt. Mike, is there a team you're looking at, hey, on the rise or maybe just going to be really good again?
Well, I think if they can get an average defense, look out for Cincy. I mean, they if it was an 18-game season, they're probably in.
No, you're right.
This year.
One more game.
So much talent on the offense. T. Higgins is probably going to be a big loss. But that defense, oh, my God. How do you score, 40 points and lose? It's just crazy. I've always been a big fan of Burrow. I think they've got the pieces on the offense. If they can just get a middle of the road defense, look out for Cincy next year.
I would agree with that. Larry, what about you? You got a team that you have want to look at?
Yeah, I don't know. This one's a hard one, right? Because a team on the rise, I looked at teams that didn't make the playoffs. And so without, because the Baltimore's, they're already up there. They should be winning. They're going to continue to win. And I couldn't really find one. A team that didn't make the playoffs this year that looks like they're prepped to take that next step. So I'm going to take, a step back and just say Washington. I think Washington is going to continue the trajectory that they're on. And, that I see them being on the top of their division and being in a better playoff seat next year. That's who I'd put my money on.
I'm going to go a little bit different way. I'm going to go with a team that I thought just got bit so hard by the injury bug. And they're good, and they're going to be good again. But I thought Detroit is a team that they might be really, really good again next year. If they can bring people back and just have everybody healthy, I think Detroit could be a Super Bowl contender. The Los Angeles Chargers are the team to me that they look like they're building something. They look like they're getting tougher. They look like they're getting better. They look like I'm not totally sold on Justin Herbert, but Jim Harbaugh, I don't know that you have to have a great quarterback. Right. You can go out there and just be tougher than other teams. So I think that the Chargers are a team that could be on the rise, and I'll go full homer. I think Denver is a team that can be on the rise. You've got a good defense, good young defense. You've got a good young quarterback. If he can make strides, Mike talked about this could be a great quarterback class, and it can. But what is going to be key for so many of these quarterbacks? What are you going to do in year two? Because we all remember the RG3 rookie year, and then it went south. Who can stay healthy? Who can improve? And now that they've got film, now that they've got an offseason to prep for you, who can go, okay, I'm still going to make the plays. You're going to take away option A, I'm going to go to B and C and D and still find ways to make positive plays. It's going to be really interesting to watch these young quarterbacks. Rob brought up the Bears. I want to see what is Caleb Williams going to do? What is we going to see here in Denver with a good young quarterback? I think that's going to be really, really interesting to watch. Other side, Rob, who the team that you think is going to slip? Who's the team that might be on the decline?
I'm a little worried about Buffalo. Josh Allen's great. I think he, made the most out of what he has, but I don't know if they can keep that up. Again, I don't, foresee like a full slide, going. But yeah, I'm a little worried about just, the Bills in general, the talent around him. If they don't do enough this offseason, I think they might slide a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that. And, we talked about it before. Amari Cooper is a free agent. You need a few more weapons up there for Josh Allen. And let's not forget, that defense could not get off the field against a Kansas City offense that struggled all year, but somehow hit their stride against that Buffalo defense. Yeah, I'd be a little bit worried if I was Buffalo. Mike, you got a team that you think might slip?
Yeah, slip not that far. I mean, a 14-win season isn't anything to sneeze about, but I don't think the Minnesota Vikings are going to duplicate what they did this year, next year. So yeah. Whether it's with, second-year quarterback coming back from an injury or what have you, but I think they exceeded all expectations by far this year, and I don't think they can duplicate that.
Yeah, a lot of things broke their way early, especially, and we kind of started to see that unravel coming down the stretch. Yeah, you might be right. Minnesota might take a bit of a step back, especially from, like you said, a 14-win season that ended up getting them, the 5 seed? That's absolutely unreal.
Stupid.
Just crazy. Larry, you got a team that you think might slip a little bit?
Yeah, I got two teams. Okay. One is opposite you. I do think Detroit has they're on the edge, right? They lost.
Which way are we going to go?
That's what happens, right?
Yeah.
And so if they shore those up, you know, it's not going to be seamless, but they're a good team. So we'll see. And I do think Kansas City is kind of on the edge too.
Okay.
I mean, they're beatable, right? We've just seen that. They've got cap problems, but they don't have the money, and they restructure Mahomes. That'll give them some money, but they've got holes to fix too.
Yep.
And like you said, the Chargers, I think, are going to be tougher. I think Denver's going to be tougher. It's going to be a tougher division than they're used to.
Yeah, Raiders should be better. You're right.
Right. So I think they'll slip a little.
You know, I have a couple here. I think Washington has to be really careful because they have an unprecedented, absurd amount, 28 unrestricted free agents. That's unreal. Now, they have money. That's going to take a lot of money. They've got a good young quarterback. So maybe guys will be quicker to re-sign and say, hey, we feel like we're building something here. But they've got to be careful and take care of their own. I'm going to say one, and it's going to be dumb. Larry talked about it earlier. He said, I'm not going to name the obvious one. Well, I'm going to name the obvious one because Dallas is a mess. Dallas is horrible, upside down on money. You paid Dak. You paid CD. Micah Parsons wants paid. You don't have any money left. And Brian Schottenheimer, I fully expect to be a complete and utter disaster. I expect this year, Jerry Jones takes at least one snap as the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Dallas Cowboys are in trouble. He will not wear a face mask. He'll just have a helmet on. It'll be on backwards. It won't matter. He's going to go look through the ear hole, and he's going to take a few snaps. He's going to run it back. I think Dallas is in a world of hurt. Now, we'll see. Maybe they go out and they restructure some deals, and they figure it out, and Dak becomes the greatest quarterback ever. I don't know if that's going to happen. And I hate to say this, but San Francisco might be in a little bit of trouble too, because San Francisco, that window might have closed, and they could be in for a team so stacked with so many weapons. I don't know. The Niners might be in a little bit of trouble. I'm going to be very, very interested to see. Okay, fellas, let's wrap this up. It's been good to catch up, kind of look forward to this offseason. Football's over though. Now, what in the world are we going to do to survive until what, next August? We've got a long way to go. Rob, how are you going to survive? What are you going to be watching? What are we going to do to get through?
Yeah, like we talked about last week, make the transition to basketball, NBA, and March Madness is probably the next closest thing. And then, just catch up on those TV shows that I miss during football season.
It is going to be a rough go, though. Man, this time of year just kills me. March Madness is the only thing that kind of helps me, but just Sundays are just rough. Mike, how are you going to survive into football season?
Yeah, same thing, right? We're fortunate here in Denver where we've got upper-tier NBA and NHL teams, right?
Sure, yeah.
I hope someday we actually get a Major League Baseball team here.
That'd we be don't nice, have one.
But that night, I think I might take up lumberjacking.
Okay, well, you've got the look. You've got the beard. You've got the flannel.
Yeah.
You need an axe, and you're halfway there.
I'm working on it.
I bet you could get an axe in the Raiders front office because I think they cut their owner's hair with it. Larry, you got any off-season plans? What are you going to be watching to try to survive to get to football again?
Well, this is the part I rely on you for, Clint.
Okay.
You're going to have to tell me what to watch.
I've got a few things in mind.
Yeah. No, it's it's the dry season, right? And so it's whatever pops on. Usually it's not on the weekends for me until end of March, right? April. So,
yeah. What are you going to do? You know, March Madness is going to be wide open. We've got a wide open field. We do not have a heavy favorite. We've got probably 8 teams that could win it all. So it's going to be wide open. March Madness is the one sporting event that always lives up to the hype. It's always going to be very, very entertaining. The NBA is really, really rough for me to watch right now. I'm really struggling. Not sure if you saw this, but I actually released an article this week talking about the NBA, how to spice it up. I released some inside information people might not know, but Adam Silver talking about just having trades, no games. We're just going to make trades because that's the only thing that's exciting that's actually going on in the NBA. NHL is entertaining. How about the Four Nations whatever tournament? Anybody watching that hockey? I watched USA Canada on Saturday. I was highly entertained. that has actually been really, really fun.
Yeah, forget all the all-star games with the, you know, I mean, baseball's okay because they actually put something on it, but the football, flag football is ridiculous. It's
horrible. The NBA is horrible.
Wait, what was the score, like 72 to 65 or something stupid like that? I mean, it, you know, and then the basketball one is awful too. So, yeah, that was entertaining.
Meanwhile, the NHL has their all-star, whatever you want to call it, three fights in the first 9 seconds. Unbelievable. Who's getting a fight in the actual, like, all-star type festivity? It was unreal. I was on the edge of my seat watching that game. That was amazing. I've been highly entertained. I'm going to have to watch some hockey. Now, Larry, I know you're a college hockey guy. How are those DU Pioneers looking? Are they bouncing back from that loss to an intramural team or whatever they had?
Yes, I think so. But okay. I got to be honest with you. I have not been following
it.
All I know is that DU did play a lacrosse game two days ago in the snow.
Is it that time already?
Well, yeah, and it was in flat-out blizzard conditions. So I don't know how they saw the ball. Maybe they put an orange ball out there. I don't know. They might have to.
I want to thank you for coming in, talking a little bit about the NFL offseason. We're going to miss the NFL. We're going to miss football, but we're going to have to survive. Rob, any closing thoughts as we put a big bow on top of this NFL season and finish it off?
No, just another good season. Always goes by too fast, and hopefully we make it through the summer so we can do this again.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be a dry, dry, long, hot summer. Mike, you got any closing thoughts to close out this NFL season for us?
Yeah, well, as a Bronco fan, like three of us on this panel are, I was excited this year to not be looking forward to the draft in mid-October for once.
Right.
I mean, you know.
What a change.
We played postseason football, barely, but we.
we were there. We're usually starting to look at the draft at Halloween.
Yeah. So, another off season to build up the hype and we get so excited for the first preseason game and then we watch and we go, this sucks. When's the race?
Yeah.
But you know, the hype for the draft is coming up. I mean, nobody does it better than the NFL. So
no, you're right. The NFL just is crushing it as far as their off season. Nobody is getting the eyes that the NFL does in their offseason. Larry, any closing thoughts as we finish up the NFL season and just football in general for the year?
Well, ditto to what Mike said, and it's nice as a fan of a team who looks like they're actually making progress, right?
Yeah.
So Russell Wilson is somebody else's problem
100%.
That they have to deal with. Which is awesome.
Yes.
Kansas City lost, which is awesome.
Awesome.
And congrats to Rob. Philly won, which is
absolutely awesome
too. So it was all good, man. What a great year.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, again, congrats to you. Congrats to the Philadelphia Eagles. One of these days, your political leaders out in that city are going to figure out how to spell Eagles, but it ain't going to be this year. Fellas, thank you. Always appreciate all you contribute to the Daily Dose. We'll be sure to catch up real soon here before we get clear out to next season. We'll touch base before then. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will be keeping you up to date on all that is going on in the world of sports. And you know, we just might have to check in on college basketball, the NBA, maybe even the NHL a little to kind of see where things currently stand. I know we've been very football heavy recently. Might have to kind of check in on those things. So be sure to check out The Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each member of our illustrious panel for their contributions to The Daily Dose. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out what we have going on over there. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Canada, you did it again. You even found a way to ruin this. Why? Why do we let you be a country?